This is PCJ Radio International. Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Keith Perrell.
Well, hello, friends and listeners, and welcome to another edition of the program. It's very nice to have you with us. Coming up later on the show, Victor Gunatelica is going to be joining us to talk about a special DRM transmission that we're going to be doing in the month of October. But first, we're going to put the focus on a radio station that targets one country in the Caribbean, but is known all around the world. Now, listen to this. Any idea what that is? Well, it's a station being jammed. No, it's not being jammed by China, North Korea, Vietnam, or Iran. Now, let's see if you can have a second guess. Any ideas? Well, that is jamming against the Miami, USA-based Radio Martí by Cuba.
Las noticias como son.
¿Qué tal? Bienvenidos al programa. Les saluda José Luis Ramos. Hoy estarán con nosotros los periodistas Miriam Leiva.
Radio Martí signed on May 20th, 1985. TV Martí signed on 5 years later in 1990. The station falls under the umbrella of the BBG, that's the Broadcasting Board of Governors, that oversee all U.S. international broadcasting, including the Voice of America, Radio Free Asia, and others. The station was set up during the Ronald Reagan administration as a way to provide free, uncensored news to the people in Cuba. Not just international news, but more importantly, news about Cuba and what's happening in Cuba, that is usually censored by local authorities. The station has not been without criticism. Sure, the Cuban government has criticized Martí and jams the station, but it has also been criticized within the United States and the Cuban-American community. Carlos García Pérez is the manager of the station, and he defends its role by saying it's morally obligated to do its job. Radio Martí is a multi-platform organization. When the station first went on air in 1985, it only used shortwave. Then medium wave, and then when TV Martí signed on, it used a specially designed plane with a TV transmitter that had high-powered transmitters on board to reach TV screens in Cuba. Now, nobody actually saw these, because the jamming against television was a lot more effective than that of shortwave and medium wave. Today Martí uses multi-platforms, but how effective is this when less than 20% of the Cuban population have access to the internet?
We are a multimedia operation, so you cannot split up, and this is the genesis of the whole thing. You cannot split up anymore radio, TV, and the internet. Everybody, we share information, so we're a multimedia operation nowadays. Why is that? For two primary reasons. One, it's the most efficient way of doing business and carrying on an operation today, and as you know, internet has, and the social media has changed the spectrum of how information is disseminated and the availability of information. The second of it is the attempt to jam us by the Cuban government. And we go from the most primitive way of distributing information, which is through flash drives and DVDs on the island, where we put our content, our radio and TV content, to satellite. In between those, we have an AM station. We have our own 1180 signal, but we buy time from commercial stations in Miami, and that's in a test period, but we do that. That we know reaches the island. We're getting great feedback from the island on these. We do shortwave, we do AM, we do FM, we're testing the FM. Obviously, the internet is a big component for distribution too, even though we know that the access to the internet on the island is very limited. The paper flash drives is a very big component now on our distribution. Well, you basically download information that is in the flash drive. You load it up with information. It could be programs. It could be For example, the one that you have now, you're holding for the audience, is Piramideo, which is a social text network that we have created for the Cubans on the island. So basically, it's group messaging. You have your cell phone, you register your cell phone on Piramideo through the website, and you can put as many Cuban cell phone numbers of your friends as you wish. And for the price of one text, we send a text message to everybody, to the people in your group. But the way you do it is you just download into your computer, you break it off from the piece of paper or the business card, and you put it into your computer, you download the information, and there it is.
Only one disadvantage of using modern platforms like cell phones and the internet is the gatekeeper effect. Now, we have seen in countries where there is some type of political turmoil, the government can turn off the internet and 3G mobile services. Cuba is no different. Also, with the internet, it's easier to track those who are listening and reading information that governments deem harmful. Radio Marti has the same problem. So is using new forms of communication detectable by Cuban authorities? Well, it is. But Marti says it has been very busy to change things fast before the Cuban government has time to track them down on what they're doing. Carlos Garcia Perez again.
I think everything is detectable by the Cuban authorities. It's a matter of the degree that they can chase all these things. And that's our strategy. Our strategy is to have a lot of initiatives that we know people on the island are using and consuming. So if you want to chase us and what we're doing, well, fasten your seatbelts, put a helmet, because we're creating new things. Just about every 3 months, we have something new coming up. We have something very important coming up now, which it's in the development stages. We're thinking of new ways of how to deliver the radio and TV Marti content to Cuba, which has become more relevant than ever, because we've always had volunteer independent journalists on the island collaborating with Marti's, but now we have paid journalists. So these are professional journalists, and I'm not taking anything away from the independent journalists that have collaborate with the Martis. They continue to be and will continue to be a very important source of information for the Martis. But we're also creating the profession of journalism on the island, right? We give you an assignment. You produce a balanced story on that assignment. You're going to get paid. And that's very important because, as you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of organizations training journalists on the island. But once they are trained, they don't have a job. So we're providing that employment.
Now, one thing that has been very difficult for stations that broadcast totalitarian states is to find out who's listening. During the Cold War, the BBC World Service, the Voice of America, were unable to go into the Soviet Union to find out who the listeners were and how many they had. It wasn't until the collapse of communism in the USSR and the Eastern Bloc that they were able to find out that they had millions of people listening every day. This is despite the jamming. Perez says that it is vitally important that the U.S. government is involved in a station like Marti, as it is the only way for it to survive, as commercial stations are not legal in Cuba.
That's why the government is involved in this business, because no commercial stations cannot operate on the island. There's no free press. Nobody can walk around with a notepad taking notes to see what the reach of the Martis are. So the Martis need to create that space for the free flow of information on the island. And by the calls that we get a lot of phone calls from the island. We know we're having a positive impact. So there's no way of measuring the impact other than through anecdotal evidence. But I'll give you an example. We did a giveaway of 6 motorcycles on January 6th, I think it was 2011. January 6th in the Catholic religion is the Epiphany. It's the Three Kings Day. These 6 motorcycles were a gift from Cuban exiles. So we did the giveaway on January 6th. We promoted the giveaway for a week and a half before January 6th. And the January 6th, there was a big show, probably like you've done many times, you know, at 11 o'clock. So everybody knew that we were going to do this. We had over 3,000 participants in a week and a half. That is a huge number considering the conditions in Cuba. And the day of the program, which we were operating, we had all our platforms, TV, radio, we did on all, you know, on all our platforms. We had to do away with our pre-production plans because all the calls that we were getting from Cuba. So if they really wanted to jam us, then they would jam us. But people were participating on the show. And this is something, by the way, that happens every day, participation on different shows. But that's my best response. In terms of the criticism, you know, the BBG, which is the umbrella under which Marti operates, which is Voice of America, RFA, RFERL, this is not different than anything we do around the world. And of course we're criticized because, you know, the Cuban government really doesn't like us very much. And if it was a commercial operation in a free country, would we be spending less money? Absolutely, of course. But we are fighting now to create the free flow of information and to be able to educate the people in Cuba against the will of the government. So we have to spend the money. That just, it's just a moral obligation. Mm-hmm.
That was Carlos Garcia Perez, the manager of the U.S.-funded TV Radio Marti. Perez recently attended the Forum 2000 conference in Prague, Czech Republic, and took part on panels that discussed the role of radio and how it can inspire democratic changes.
Compañeros poetas, tomando en cuenta los últimos sucesos en la poesía, quisiera preguntar. Me urge. ¿Qué tipo de adjetivos se deben usar para hacer el poema de un barco sin que se haga sentimental? Fuera de la vanguardia o evidente panfleto, si debo usar palabras como flota cubana de pesca y playa girón.
The song, by the way, is called Playa Girón, and it's performed by Silvio Rodriguez, who is from Cuba. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. On October 13th, PCJ Radio International will conduct a two-hour DRM transmission from 10:30 to 12:30 UTC. This is going to be targeting listeners in Southeast Asia and East Asia. The content for that 2 hours is going to be news at 10:30 UTC, followed by Switzerland in Sound with Bob Zanotti. At 11 hours UTC, Media Network Plus. At 11:30 UTC, news. And then in the last hour of that transmission, from 11:36 until 12:30 UTC, a special documentary called Wartime Deception by Jonathan Marks that we featured on this program before. Now, this is all happening on the 13th of October. The frequency for this is 15645 kilohertz. Now, to find out a little bit more about this transmission and DRM and why we're doing this, we're now joined on the line by Victor Gunatelica, our frequency manager at his home in Colombo, Sri Lanka. Now, Victor, before we get to this transmission, I do want to ask you a question, and that is, can you tell us a little bit of the history about Trincomalee?
Oh, well, it was built in 1982, and first test transmissions began in 1982.
So this is what you would call a relatively new station compared to some of the other ones that are around the world that are in operation then.
Oh, yes. You know, for these very well, ruggedly and built reliability and all that, you know, they are not like cheap transistor radios that hit the market. They are really million-dollar devices, and they last years and years. And some of the transmitters, even from the BBC that we are hearing, would very well be more than 25, 30 years old, but mm-hmm. they are so reliable.
Okay, now let's talk about DRM for a moment. Now, what kind of DRM equipment does Trinco have?
Well, we are using mono. We are unable to do stereo at the moment. So we're running 85 kilowatts. We can manage 85 kilowatts, and that's quite a reasonable or very decent power level, because most stations have been using about less than 100 kilowatts anyway, or some even trying to save on the energy, which is one of the prime reasons they are thinking of DRM, things like 50 to 60 kilowatts. So I think the DRM transmission that we are trying to make from Trincomalee, quite a reasonable and quite a standard one.
You know, one of the big criticisms that I've heard from a number of people concerning DRM is that sometimes stations use too little power. In that, you know, they think, oh yeah, you can use less power because the signal's going out digitally. But, you know, it's like a mobile phone. If you don't have any signal, you don't get anything at all. And there's so much noise and static on the bands that you actually need some decent power to get something that is audible.
Exactly, Keith, because unlike analog shortwave, even if the signal is not excellent, even at a, what we call, our listeners are happy with, you know, the SINPO code, even if a signal is S3, signal strength 3, you'll still hear it and you'll be able to get the program content. May not be excellent, but DRM is a different story. Either you get it very well or you don't get it at all, because it drops below a threshold level and it doesn't fade in and out, or it keeps dropping in and out. So for DRM, you really need to give a decent strong signal that the listener can decode from his radio. Otherwise, what happens is it's just noise on an analog radio, and on your digital radio, it just drops off into nothingness. So you need decent power. So there has to be a compromise. You just can't say, okay, we are going to use 25 kilowatts and we are saving power and it's digitally encoded and all that. So no, you have to think of the listener as well. He's not running massive antennas. We're talking about a simple antenna or maybe a telescopic whip antenna and things like that. So you're trying to replace analog, which can be picked up even on a small portable radio, may not be the excellent quality that DRM can deliver. But in the first place, the listener has to be able to get it and have audio.
How important is it, Victor, when choosing a frequency to broadcast on DRM?
Well, yes, these are two things that are uppermost in my mind. You know, DRM, analog cannot interfere with DRM as such. So, in short, DRM can just walk over anybody and just come in, and, you know, on a DRM receiver, the analog signal will not give you any problems. But the analog listener will be completely swamped by the DRM signal. And it could be so annoying, completely losing signal. So our policy at PCJ and my own policy has been, I'll never like to use the traditional analog band. So when selecting a frequency for DRM, I believe that we should at least go out of the old traditional analog band. For instance, if we are using 15 megahertz, as we are going to do on the 13th of October, we'll definitely not use anything below 15,500 or 15,450.
So, Victor, what you're saying then is, let's say there's an analog station out there and somebody wants to jam it. They can put a DRM signal out there, jam the audio from the analog signal. But if somebody has a DRM receiver, be able to pick up the DRM audio with no problem. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, exactly. DRM, analog wouldn't interfere with DRM, but DRM would completely knock out the AM signal. I'll give you, if giving another example for you. VOA from Thailand was using 250 kilowatts to beam to South Asia. And the Deutsche Welle in the good old days of DRM, they were broadcasting to Russia, Eastern Europe, with just about 50 kilowatts. And that signal, which was completely beam away from South Asia, although VOA was beaming to South Asia, just single hop, the VOA was completely swamped until Deutsche Welle went off. So it's like a hash jammer.
Here's a question that somebody emailed me this past week, on Monday, in fact. They said, does DRM propagate the same way as traditional analog shortwave?
Well, Keith, yes. It's a shortwave signal, only the transmission is a much broader signal, and it propagates just like the traditional shortwave signal, analog transmitted signal, and there wouldn't be much of a difference between the propagation characteristics. So only thing is, as I said before, if the DRM signal gets through, there's no fading, you get some lovely steady audio.
So let me ask you then, if international broadcaster said to you, Victor, listen, right now we're only running 50 kilowatts in DRM here, and another broadcaster says, oh, we're running 20 here, but, you know, we're having problem with signal stability. You would recommend to them, increase your power or choose a better frequency.
Well, ideally, the best frequency propagationally is paramount, whether you're on analog or digital. But, and the other thing is, since DRM is more susceptible to signal loss, rather audio loss dropping out, I would ask them not to be too stingy on power. Now, I have done this test with All India Radio on air. They broadcast to Sri Lanka, and they were using about 50 kilowatts, and the dropout rate was quite considerable. And the engineer on air, he was increasing the power. And when we reached 65 kilowatts, as opposed to the regular 50, things started becoming very reliable. So a few kilowatts here and there can make a big difference.
Victor Gunatelica, thank you very much for joining us. And if you want more information of what the programming will be for that DRM broadcast on October the 13th, just check out our website, www.pcjmedia.com. Victor, thanks again.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.
To recap again that transmission, that's going to be October 13th. October 13th between 10:30 and 12:30 UTC, targeting listeners in Southeast Asia and East Asia on the frequency of 15645 kilohertz. And this is going to be in Digital Radio Mondiale, or DRM. Now, the power for this transmission will be 80 kilowatts. So, of course, your reception reports will be welcomed, because we'd like to find out, you know, if it also went outside the target area. And the email address to send that to is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. Now, some of you are wondering, well, if we're doing this 2 hours, does that mean we're not going to do our regular scheduled Sunday broadcast? No, we are. We will be there as normal from 1330 to 1430 UTC in digital, not digital, I should say analog shortwave on 11835 kilohertz. So if you're in a good mood that night and you want to hear a lot of PCJ and you have a DRM radio, you can listen to us twice. The content, of course, for the both transmissions is different. So we look forward to hearing from you. The information, by the way, is at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. Now, just a quick program note of something that we have coming up next week. Next week, our good friend Richard Ady will be joining us, as he brings us a special program to look at the world's biggest TV audience. Now, do you have any idea where that is? Some of you are probably thinking the United States, but you're absolutely incorrect. The largest TV audience in the world is China. That's right, China. He's going to be speaking to an author of a new book called 2 Billion Eyes, The Story of Central China Television. And that's next week, here on Media Network Plus. Well, what can we expect propagation-wise over the next 7 days? Here's our good friend, Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from September 28th to October 4th, 2013. A 10.7 centimeter flux of 100 from September 28th to September 30th, then from October 1st to October 4th, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 95. September 28th, we'll see an A index of 8, an A index of 10, and September 29th back down to 8 on September 30th. October 1st, an A index spiking at 10 once more, down to 8 once more on September 2nd, with an A index of 5 on October 3rd and 4th. A KP index of 3 all week long from September 28th to October 2nd. October 3rd and 4th, a KP index of 2. This week brings us some new sunspots with 1846, 49, 50, 51, and 52 present. None of the sunspots are actively flaring, and that means nice, quiet solar conditions, resulting in nicely quiet radio conditions. September 21st was the first day of fall, so that means we should be seeing some of the famous fall propagation conditions that everyone loves so much. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thanks a lot, Dan. If you want to find out information or more propaganda, or I shouldn't say propaganda, I should say propagation, yes. What is wrong with me today? Propagation information. See, this is what happens when you do a live recording. You never know what can happen. But if you want to find out more information about Dan Hensley's propagation forecast, he has a page at the PCJ website, pcjmedia.com, and you can find more information there, so do go and check it out. Well, it is the last Saturday of every month, or the last weekend of every month, and as usual, we have two editions of Media Network Plus. We have the weekly one that you're listening to right now, and the one-hour monthly edition. And the first transmission for that is 1 hour UTC Saturday, broadcasting to listeners in Latin America on 9,955 kilohertz. Somebody was asking me recently, they said, Keith, what is the difference between the two shows? Well, first of all, one is 1 hour. This one is 30 minutes. This one is weekly, and that one is only monthly. Those are the big differences, but the more smaller differences are the fact that the one-hour edition, quite often we can present longer interviews and longer pieces that we normally can't do on the weekly edition of the show. So you'll probably hear some stuff that we ran, you know, a few weeks ago on this one that had to be shortened down, but you can catch the full, almost unedited version on that one. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for. Your comments and questions, of course, are always welcomed. Our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. We're going to end today with a singer by the name of Noah with the song I Don't Know. So until next time, friends, this is Keith Perron wishing you well, saying 73 and 88 to the ladies.
Flower colors bright, I am strong, I can fight, but I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Tower, brick and stone, make my way on my own, but I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I don't know why, I don't know how. If I can fly, can I fly now? Are my wings strong enough to bear the winds out there? Strong, I can't fight, but I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Tower, brick and stone, make my way on my own.